Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Hey there, welcome to the Gary Zimak Show. Great to be with you once again. Today we're going to look at the Mass readings for the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. This is a big feast because this, believe it or not, this brings to an end or close the Christmas season. Tomorrow, or the Monday after the, depending on when you're listening to this, the Monday after the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord launches us back into ordinary time. So we're going to be back starting over, beginning in ordinary time after this feast. And then what do? We head toward the Lenten season, which as we get closer, we'll talk more about it. But I don't want to rush things. Right now, the focus is on the baptism of the Lord. And we're going to use the theme of come to the water. This is an invitation for each of us to come to the waters of baptism, to be baptized, to become part of the life of God, the life of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to receive the Holy Spirit, and to really share in their life. It's just an incredible gift that we have when we are baptizing. But today we will look at the actual baptism of Jesus. And believe it or not, there are parallels between his baptism and between our baptism. And really, that's what I'm going to go for in this show. So as we look at the readings, we will talk about baptism. I think a lot of times we don't appreciate the great gift that we have of baptism because it's you know, Jesus sets the standard for us. He leads the way, if you want to say it that way. And he is baptized. Did he need to be baptized? Because baptism cleanses us from original sin and it incorporates us into the life of the Trinity. He didn't need that, but we need that. So if you want to look at it, I think I heard it phrased one time that he makes holy the waters of baptism, or he purifies the waters of baptism. And when he was baptized, he instituted the sacrament of baptism. So it's really the door, the entranceway for us into the life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Big deal, great thing. And you know, the way I look at it, I need all the help I can get to be holy. And that's really what baptism does for us. So settle in, relax, grab a snack, grab a beverage, pull up a chair, and I hope you can hang out with me for the entire 30 minutes. I want to thank you for all of the good wishes, the Christmas, the New Year's greetings. Hard to believe we are in the year 2021 now, another year, another beginning for us. And I look forward to being with you on the show. Let's keep doing it. Let's keep going. I love the fact that you and I can hang out together once each week on this program. And again, I plan to be doing it for as long as I can. Please let your friends know about this show. And let them know they can access it either via the podcast or through many different Catholic radio stations across the United States. And send them to my website if they need more information, followingthetruth.com. But before I get ahead of myself, before we take a look at these readings, Let's begin in prayer. Let's turn to our Father in heaven. We're going to hear about the Father today when we read the gospel, when the baptism of the Lord takes place. But let's turn to that very same Father who we will read about today in the scriptures. Let's talk to him now. He's waiting for us, so let's not keep him waiting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you so much. What an honor and privilege it is to be able to talk with you, to chat, to spend time in your presence. Even if we didn't get to say anything, just to be in your presence is an incredible honor. Father, we know that you love us. We know that you are all-powerful. We know that no problem presents a challenge for you. We know, Father, that you created us so that we could enter into a relationship with you. You created us so that one day, after our life on earth is over, we could share eternal life in heaven with you in total happiness. And until we get there, we don't fully appreciate what a great thing it is. But Father, we look forward to that day, when we will be able to experience that perfect happiness of life with you in heaven. But for the time being, Father, we come before you here. We know that you will lead us. We know that we can feel your peace, even in this imperfect world. We know that you will provide for our needs. We know that you love us, Father. We know that you care for us. We know that you are pleased with us for who we are, not necessarily for what we do. Father, we turn to you today with thanksgiving for keeping us alive, for sustaining our lives from the time we were conceived right up until the present. Father, we ask that you continue to provide for our needs. Draw us closer to you. Make us more aware of your presence, your constant presence, wherever we go. And grant us the grace, Father, to avoid committing any sin, and to put pleasing you and doing your will above anything else. Father, we lift up our friends, our family, and I specifically ask you this day to pour out your Spirit on me so that I can deliver the message you have for us today, and on all of us, that we can hear the message, be open to it, and respond to it. Father, I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's get ready to start here. We are going to, by the way, my name is Gary Zimek. This is the Gary Zimek Show. I come to you once each week. And we look at the Sunday Mass readings. Today, we're going to focus our show on the readings for the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. And as I said at the start, this is the official end of the Christmas season. The Christmas season comes to an end with this feast. We will go into ordinary time now, right up until the time of Ash Wednesday, and then we'll go into Lent. But as I also said, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. Right now, let's focus on where we are right now. Hey, if you're new to the program, welcome. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. If you want to find out more information about my work, any of my books, if you want to find out how to sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, or listen to my daily podcast, for any of that stuff, you can just go to followingthetruth.com, which is my website, followingthetruth.com. Who's the truth? The truth is Jesus, and we are following him on this program. As Christians, that's what we're called to do. If we follow Jesus, he's going to lead us closer to his Father. And one day, if we keep following where we're going to go, we're going to go to heaven. That's the goal. That's the goal of us as Christians. So that's the deal with the website. That's why I named it that way. Boy, I created that website more years ago than I can remember. The name Following the Truth just came to me, and I've kept it through the years, and it's served me well, I'll tell you. So followingthetruth.com is the place to go if you want to find out more information. So we're going to look at these readings now for the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord The gospel. We start with the gospel. If you're new to the show, I do things a little bit differently in that I look at the gospel first, because the church holds that the gospel has a place of prominence among all of the other books of scripture. So the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hold this special place of prominence among all of the scriptures. Even though all of the books of the Bible are considered to be the inspired word of God, the gospels are a little extra special. And the way it works on Sunday is that all of the readings are really based on the gospel. So the gospel is chosen, and the gospels each week, especially during ordinary time. It's a little bit different. We're in the Christmas season. We have a feast today, so we have special readings. But once we get back into ordinary time, the gospels will just progress sequentially, as will the second reading, by the way. The second reading is not chosen specifically to match the gospel. However, the first reading and the responsorial psalm are chosen specifically to support or supplement the gospel. So that's why I believe in, you know, the gospel's got the theme. And a lot of times, there are many, many different messages or themes that we see in the gospel, as well as all of the readings. But when you look at the gospel, and you look at it next to the first reading of the responsorial psalm, generally speaking, you're going to see a theme emerge. And I always try to highlight that. That's what I try to do on this show. Today, obviously, it's the baptism of the Lord, but not just his baptism. I think more importantly, we need to focus on our baptism and what a great thing it is. So with that in mind, let's look at the gospel. It's from Mark chapter 1, beginning of Mark's gospel, verses 7 through 11. This is what John the Baptist proclaimed. One mightier than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop and loosen the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to break here and just talk about that for a minute, those few verses. John the Baptist was the precursor. He's the forerunner. He's the guy who was calling attention to the fact that the Messiah was coming. His job was to draw people to Jesus. And John was baptizing people, but it was not a sacramental baptism. It was a baptism of repentance. It's different than the baptism which you and I have been baptized with. What happened was, after this, you're going to see Jesus come up and be baptized himself, which is going to create this sacramental baptism, the baptism which we are able to receive, which cleanses us from original sin, grants us the supernatural grace that we need to be able to enter into a union with the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And it also makes us a member of the church. So baptism is a pretty powerful thing, a sacramental baptism. But John is saying, look, not me. I'm not the guy. I'm just the opening act. The guy coming after me is the main event. Okay, now back to the gospel. It happened in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. On coming out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And a voice came from the heavens. You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. Now, in this gospel here, Mark's gospel, we see a reference to Jesus. We see a reference to the Holy Spirit. And we see a reference to the Father. He was the voice from the heavens who said, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. So we see all three persons of the Trinity. Even though the word Trinity is not used here, we see the Trinity represented in this gospel. An interesting parallel when we look at this, when we look at the day of our own baptism. When Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Now, we believe, as Catholics, we believe that when we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit for the first time. Now, the gift gets strengthened when we're confirmed, but the first time we receive the Holy Spirit is actually during baptism. And so what happened with Jesus is happening. It happens with us, too, at our baptism. We receive the Holy Spirit descending on us like a dove. And then the voice comes from the heavens. And if you want to look at it this way, this is the same voice that was spoken about you and about me. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. This is the Father talking. What did Jesus do yet? He hadn't started his public ministry yet. When you are baptized, when you are created, God the Father speaks these same words over you. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you, I am well pleased. He loves you and he's pleased with you, not for what you do, but for who you are. Now, that does not mean that God doesn't want you to do good. God does want you to do good. It is important to God that you do good. But he loves you for who you are. He doesn't love you for what you do. See, we never want to get in that trap or that mindset, that way of thinking where we think, well, in order for God to love me, I have to be good. No, he's going to love you no matter what. God loves you. God is love. God loves you for who you are. God created you out of nothing because he loves you, not because he needed you. We want to please God. That's the way we show our love for him. But it doesn't make him love us anymore. So, you know, we want to do good. We should want to do good because in a relationship, if you love somebody, you want to please them. You want to put them first. And by doing good things, we're showing God how much we love him. But it doesn't make him love us anymore. Don't put that kind of pressure on yourself. He loves you for who you are. You know, so that's a good thing. So that's the baptism of Jesus. Now, let's look at the first reading. And you're going to hear this same type of theme. First reading, way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 11. Thus says the Lord, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. See that invitation? If you're thirsty, come to the water. Water, baptism, see the theme? You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fails to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen, that you may have life. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant, the benefits assured to David, as I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of nations. So shall you summon a nation you knew not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, who has glorified you. So you see this invitation to come. It doesn't cost you anything. Your baptism, you don't have anything. We, you know, we're the recipients when we're baptized, and we receive that supernatural life. I mean, it's sanctifying grace. That's a gift. It's not like we can pay for it. It's not like we can offer anything. That's a gift. And it's given to us because God loves us. And something special happens at our baptism. You know, we really never want to forget that. Something special happens. Continuing on with this reading, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way and the wicked man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. For just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The theme of coming to the Lord and receiving this gift, this supernatural grace, this sanctifying grace in the sacrament of baptism is really evident in this first reading. You know, he's going to provide for our needs. It's not like we can go before him and say, we're justified. You owe this to us. It's not like that at all. So this is a gift. Baptism is a very gift. And oftentimes, you'll go to a baptism. Now, predominantly, we see infants being baptized, at least in the Catholic Church. And we could get a little desensitized. You ever go, if you go to a baptism, you oftentimes see people just not really appreciating or understanding what really is going on there. And that's the way it was in my life for years. I didn't get it. I didn't see it the importance, but it's so important. It's so critical, because when the infant or the person, whoever, the adult, whoever's being baptized, is baptized, something changes. They are not the same. Their soul receives an indelible mark, and you know, they are consecrated to the Lord. I mean, this is a really special thing, baptism. So by submitting to baptism himself, Jesus instituted this sacrament, which is an invitation for us. It's an invitation for us to enter into his life, the life that he shares with the Father and the Holy Spirit. The responsorial psalm is also from Isaiah. It's not from the book of Psalms this week. It's not always, even though it's called the responsorial psalm. The responsorial psalm in the Mass doesn't always come from the book of Psalms. This week it comes from Isaiah chapter 12. You will draw water joyfully from the springs of salvation. Again, see the water theme? Baptism. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Acclaim his name. Among the nations make known his deeds. Proclaim how exalted is his name. Sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Shout with exultation, O city of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. You will draw water joyfully from the springs of salvation. So again, we see that theme throughout this, throughout these readings, throughout the psalm, the idea of drawing water from the springs of salvation. Through baptism, we are able to, we become members of the church, our original sin is wiped away, and it becomes possible for us to live with the Lord forever in heaven when our life on earth is over. I don't think you can properly appreciate this or think about this enough. You know, this is something that it's really easy to overlook, it's really easy to miss, and it's definitely something that warrants another thought. What a gift. I mean, what an incredible gift. Let's look at the second reading now. It comes from the first letter of John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Beloved, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God, and everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten by God conquers the world. And the victory that conquers the world is our faith. Who indeed is the victor over the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? One other point I want to make out before I finish this reading is, John talks about the faith, the gift of faith. We receive faith for the first time, faith, hope, and charity when we're baptized. So we get a lot of stuff when we're baptized. But you know the problem? These are invisible, intangible, supernatural gifts, so you're not going to see them. And we, as human beings who are used to seeing with our eyes and perceiving the world around us using our senses, if we can't see it, if we can't smell it, if we can't taste it, if we can't touch it, it's hard for us to appreciate what it is that we're receiving, right? And that's where we get challenged sometimes. But let me tell you, we're getting a lot when we're baptized. And John continues, this is the one who came through water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water alone, but by water and blood. The Spirit is the one who testifies, and the Spirit is truth. So there are three that testify: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are of one accord. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is surely greater. Now, the testimony of God is this, that he has testified on behalf of his son. Now, there also is, that's the one of the second reading. There's also another option for a second reading. And as was the first reading, there was a different option. So if you go to church and you hear a different reading, that's the reason. I chose one of them. Each reading has an alternate option. But the emphasis here is on the baptism of Jesus and how through his baptism, he created this sacrament that enables us to share in his life. And I know, again, another hard to understand concept. What does it mean to share in the life of Jesus? Well, it almost means that you're grafted onto him. Like you and me, if we're baptized, we become part of Jesus. So we have a common Father, and we're animated or driven by a spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's really amazing stuff. All this happens when we are baptized. That's the way that we officially share in the life of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And we are part of Jesus. So, you know, we don't necessarily become, I'm explaining this in a very simple way. We don't necessarily become grafted into the Father, even though we do. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we are in Jesus. So we can speak to the Father in Jesus. We can speak to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit work in us and animate us, for lack of a better word, inspire our thoughts, inspire our words, inspire our deeds. We can do that just as Jesus did. So the Spirit dwells in us. We are in Jesus, and in Jesus, with the Spirit, we are in a relationship with the Father. Again, that's my rough interpretation of what takes place, but it's a really amazing thing. So be thankful for the fact that you were baptized, if you indeed were baptized, and that it did incorporate you into the church. Now you're part of the church, and it's a blessing. Now it's possible for you to be able to live with the Lord forever in heaven when your life on earth is over. That's a blessing. It really is, because there's no problems in heaven, total happiness. You know, it's paradise. This earth is not paradise, but heaven is. So next week, God willing, if I'm back here, and I hope you are as well, we're going to talk about the readings for the first Sunday in Ordinary Time as we launch back into the regular readings or the regular period of time leading up until the Lenten season. Of course, after Lent, we have the Easter season, and then back into Ordinary Time. So we got a lot of good stuff happening, and we'll be. I plan to be here with you for as long as I can. God has me. If he puts me on this earth and I'm able to do the show, I'm going to keep doing it. Hey, if you would be so kind as to consider donating to my ministry, you know, we're in the start of a new year now. It's becoming increasingly difficult for me to move forward in a world where just about all of my speaking has been shut down due to COVID. So if you're able to help me out and enable me to keep going, to do this show, to do my news, my daily email reflection, as well as my daily podcast, I would be so grateful for that. You can go to followingthetruth.com. All you need to do is click on donate, and you can become a monthly subscriber for my work. And also, if you'd rather, you can make a one-time donation. But whatever you're able to do, I would be so appreciative. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Know that I pray for you every day, and I would ask you to pray for me as well. Have a wonderful week. Celebrate your baptism. It's really special. It's a special day. If you don't know the date, maybe do a little research. Find out the date, put it on your calendar, and celebrate, because it's really amazing. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and I look forward to being with you next week once again on the Gary Zimek Show. See ya.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.